your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4. And I appreciate Ian Dallas and filling in for Brother Tim tonight. He's out preaching, kicking a tent meeting off down in Roebuck that they're having down there this week. I believe Brother Barry Spears, and I cannot recall the next fellow preaching toward the end of the week, but I know Brother Barry's there during the week. And Brother Tim's kicking it off for them tonight. And they filled in for him, and I appreciate the good job they did tonight. Amen. And by the way, that's why we're trying to train these young people. Amen. Need somebody to be able to step in those places. Every church can only go so far, some because we all grow old and other things happen, but you want to be training another generation coming on behind. And so I appreciate these young people done a wonderful job in singing. Appreciate the adult choir tonight. Thank you for being in your place. Amen. All right. Nehemiah chapter 4, you're willing and able, let's stand tonight. Nehemiah chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading verse 6. I'm reading just a couple of verses, and then we'll pray, try to preach as the Lord directs our heart. Last year sometime, preached out the book of Nehemiah. Now, this is a total different thought that's on my heart. Then the past week, God began stirring the message this morning, and this one tonight for days been stirring it, and I want to try to help us. I don't know really how wound up I'll get preaching, but I do want to pour out what's on my heart. Amen. Now, that don't mean I'm going to be quiet. I'm loud if I stand still, but I don't know how high I'll kick my heels up, amen? But I do believe God's got something in the text and this book of Nehemiah that can help us as we're facing the enemy in this day, amen? And our enemy is the devil, the world, and the flesh. And we're all battling it, I promise you this. And the devil and the demons, the spirit world, are fighting harder, I believe, now than ever before. And we need something. And I believe the Bible's got the answer how to help us in living in victory. So I'll look at this thought tonight. Nehemiah chapter 4 and beginning in verse 6. The Bible said, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Then skip down to verse 10. Verse 10, the Bible says, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight. One more opportunity to assemble in your house. Lord, I pray now for a little while that you'll open our hearts for the word of God. Lord, strengthen my voice, my body. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that a man must have to preach your word. I ask you to remove anything that would hinder the service tonight. Lord, help us that we'll be tender for the touch of the Spirit of God. Help every Christian in this place. Lord, there's some here struggling with sin. Some are struggling with problems and storms in their life. Help them tonight. Lord, there could be someone, and no doubt there is, that's here tonight lost on the broad way of destruction. Lord, could this well be the night they'd run to you and be saved by your marvelous grace and everything you do. We'll praise you and we'll thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to read these verses one more time tonight and get to my thought. The Bible said back in verse 6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Verse 10, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. Now, as we read these verses of Scripture, there is a great contrast from verse 6 to verse 10. There is something takes place and things all of a sudden change. They go from having a mind to work and the wall being built to ready to throw in the towel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as we think about that, I want to preach a few minutes on this subject. What's happened? What's happened? Because sometimes in our Christian life, Lord, we're ready to go. We're ready to serve God. We're living on the mountain. We have victory. We're enjoying how the presence of God. We can feel God. We can sense God. But then before you get turned around good, the rug gets jerked out from underneath you. How something happens and you go from being excited about the things of God to getting ready to throw in the towel and never try again. What happens? What's going on? Well, there's some things I'll look at tonight. I have three things and I'll be done. First of all, in verse number 6, I'll look at the work just a minute. The work, the Bible said, so built we the wall. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as you study, this is after Babylonian captivity. The book of Ezra, the book before Nehemiah, had to do with the restoration of temple worship, getting the house of God back in shape, had to have service, had the sacrifices that they offered. But Nehemiah's job, Nehemiah's calling, was to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. Now, in our day, we don't think much about walled cities because of the military might that we had. But in Bible days, they didn't have missiles. They didn't have airplanes. Therefore, that wall was of great importance. It protected them. It kept the enemy on the outside and wouldn't let them in. Well, when they were taken because of their sin into Babylonian captivity, we find that the walls were broken down, tore down, and the gates are burned with fire. And God raises up this man at Nehemiah for the purpose of rebuilding the wall. Now, we're in the last days. They ain't a doubt in my mind. God raised you up. God raised me up for this hour. Amen. I'm an old-fashioned preacher. I'm just from the old school, and you know that. And sometimes it has crossed my mind. It'd been nice to preach meetings and pastored in the 40s and 50s. It would, because people were geared a little different than they are now. And I feel like maybe I'm out of step with the present day sometime. But ladies and gentlemen, God knew where he wanted me in the present day. Amen. He knew where he wanted you in this present day. And there is a work to be done. Hey, God's work is not just back there in the past. Amen. God is still on the throne. God still revives his people. God is still working through the local church. And listen to me, we can still build a church on the Bible. It is not entertainment, but it's the Word of God that changes lives. That's why our Bibles is the emphasis in Sunday school. And at 11 o'clock and Sunday night and Wednesday night, the Bible is the emphasis. Why? It's how we build our lives and it's how we reach this generation. So we find the work is going on. They built the wall. They built. That's work. Now, I'm going to say this. We're in a day they don't like work. Amen. Just give me the paycheck for doing nothing. It is the handout generation we see today. Is that right? A lot of folk are scared of a little work. You know, when I was a kid, they talked about you wasn't supposed to use a four-letter word, and they was talking about cussing, and you know that. Well, I think they think the word work fits in there now. They're a little scared to say it, and they're real scared to do it. Amen. By the way, the Bible still says if you won't work, you shouldn't eat. Amen. I believe in workfare myself. Amen. It's a lot better than welfare. Amen. We've raised generations with handouts, and you see what we've got. Hey, a lot of you were raised in the day, friend, you worked hard. Amen. You had to make sure you worked or you wouldn't have nothing. Amen. Well, we find they're involved in this work of building the walls of Jerusalem. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are involved in the work of God. And it is work. I know a lot of Baptists have sat down and watched these guys on television so long, talking about being prosperous and talking about naming it and claiming it, that a lot of folk think that's the Christian life. But the Bible teaches nothing of the sort. The Bible teaches us that there's going to be problems. He said in the book of Timothy, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus, not might, not could, but it said shall suffer persecution. Hey, this thing, the work of God, can I say first and foremost, it's a great thing. It is not small. It is not trivial. It is a great work. There's nothing greater than the work of God. There's nothing larger, bigger than the work of God. It's a great work. I want to say also, it's a going work. Amen. For the Bible in verse 6 says, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof. Man, this thing's progressing. They're going forward. And I want everybody to look at me just a minute, and I want to remind you of something. I know this is a day where some have quit and a day where churches have compromised and preachers have compromised, but not everybody. The work of God is not in danger of ceasing. I want to say that one more time. The work of God is not in danger of ceasing. You see, if you quit, God's got another crowd coming up that he'll just put in your spot and let them do something for him. Amen. Hey, please understand something. God could kill every one of us tonight. Plant us in the sod, raise a new crop of people tomorrow, and the church of God would roll on. We are, I can be replaced. You can be replaced. And I say that in the right way. I'm not being mean, you know that. But you hear me. Sometimes we think a little more of ourselves than we should. Amen. The work of God is going forward. And it will always go forward, just like the Bible said it would. Amen. This thing's running right on schedule. Amen. Here's the joy. You and I have been privileged to have this part of the work of God. Hey, it's a going work. Matter of fact, it's going that in verse 7, the enemy found that the breaches were beginning to be stopped. This wall's going. Hey, even the world knows that the church is not gone into non-existence. They know that. They know we're still here. That's why they fight like they do. Amen. But the work of God is going forward, with us or without us. I want to be involved in it. What about you? Amen. I don't want to get left in the dust. I want to be involved right in the middle of the work of God. So it's a great work. It's a going work. But you listen here. It is a grueling work. It's hard. This is not going to be a little walk in among the roses. That is not the Christian life. The Christian life is denying yourself, picking up a cross and following Jesus. Now I'm going to make a statement about what gets made in appeals and a lot of invitations. Salvation is very easy. Yes, it is. It is not out of reach. It is not a hard thing. But I'll tell you something. It's more than you just wanting to miss hell. If you ask somebody, you want to go to hell, most people in their right mind will tell you no. But when you say, now listen, if you get saved, you're going to have to let him be Lord of your life. It begins slowing down the number that wants to be saved. Because a lot of folk want fire insurance. You hear me? They want fire insurance. They don't want a Lord. Hello, now, I'm preaching right. It's truth tonight, amen? Hey, we ain't here to shout down. We're here to grow, aren't we? Amen. So I'm telling you, friend, at times it does get a little tough in serving God. Hey, you're going to have them days you like to cover your head back up. Hello. You think, God, this ain't helping me? It will in a minute if you'll hang on with me. We're just facing reality right now. If you think I want to always jump in the pulpit and I'm all excited, you're wrong. I know I scream all the time. I know I just go at, but that don't mean I'm feeling something. You're right. You heard me right. But what if I'm giving it all to God? Whatever you do, you ought to do it with all your might. Didn't that what the Bible teach us? So I'm going to fight it like I'm fighting fire. That's it. Get in it. Go with it. Feelings or no feelings. Hey, sometimes, I'm going to tell you, you find some things that really burden you down and break your heart along the Christian journey. But you don't quit. It's just part of the work. You realize, listen to me, as this work's going forward, you don't think they ain't cut their hands putting these stones back in place? You don't think they've worked in some hot days and, boy, thought they was about to pass out from the heat. You think they worked alone and when they got home and went to bed, everything from the head to the sole of the foot hurt? Why, it sure did. It was tough, but they just kept going. Amen. Sometimes you just got to say, flesh, we ain't sitting down. We ain't quitting. We're not going to throw in a towel, but we're going to go on no matter how tough it is, because Christ went through more than I'll ever go through. Amen. When you put your life inside of Calvary, what you and I suffer is very small. The very wrath of God was poured out on Christ. Your sin was there. Your sin got judged at Calvary in Christ Jesus. The wrath of God poured out upon. That's a lot worse than what we go through. Amen. Hey, you talk, well, my friend turned on me. What happened to Jesus? Hello? There he is, one of his own. Betrays him for a little bit of money. Sells him out. Everybody else that is there, you know, talking about, boy, we're glad to be following you, Lord. And Peter hollering, I'll go to prison with you. But buddy, when they come, got Jesus in Gethsemane, son, they scattered. About like picking a board up with bugs under it, and the light hit, poof. That's the way they did that night. Hey, our Lord knows what it is to be hurt like that. Our Lord knows what it is to have religious people attack him. Amen. He went through a whole lot. I think we can put up with some hardship, can't we? Amen. So the work itself, it's great, it's going, but it is grueling. Well, secondly, in verse 10, I want to look at the workers just a minute. I got something for us in this final point because I believe God's touched my heart to give you something. There's some of you struggling with the attack of the enemy. Whether you're battling a sin or if you're battling the demons of hell, putting up with the world just always fighting against you, everything always seeming to be stacked against you, hey, there's hope. There's hope. But look at the workers in verse 10. We go from verse 6, the people had a mind to work. Look at the first part of verse 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. They went from being ready to do something to sitting around saying, we're done. We can't do this. We cannot continue building this wall. The strength of the bearers of burdens. You sitting right here tonight, how many times in our Christian life we've been on fire for God? We've been ready. I mean, boy, whatever God wanted, we was ready. But there's been those other times that, man, we come to church because we know it's right. Amen. If you went on your feelings, what would you have done tonight? Huh? Hey, I've traveled all week. I've visited the hospital. I've preached like a wild man every night, preached again this morning. I am dog tired. I'm not tired. I'm dog tired. Amen? And some of you are the same way. You know what? There's people here with physical affliction, and they come on anyhow. That, I tell you what, when I see a crowd coming, I know how they're what they're going through physically, and they come to church, I promise you, being dog tired, don't come nowhere near it. And I can say, if they can do it, I can do it. Amen? Hey, but we find these workers, they've been bearing the load. They've been doing the work. But now they're so wore out that they just don't know if they go. You see, first of all, they're fainting. For it said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. They have got so weary, they are so weak, that they don't know, can I go another day? Hey, sometimes you feel faint in the work of God. Amen. Oh, sometimes you feel so weak and you feel so weary and you're worried. That's right. They're fainting. But all the workers are faint, but say they are fearful. Because in verse 11, see, back in verse 1, 2, and 3, the enemy has been taunting those workers. Why? What do they think they're going to do out of that heap of rubbish? Why, even if a fox got up on that wall, it'd fall down, making fun of them. Have you experienced somebody making fun of you serving God? I have. Everybody ain't going to pat you on the back and say, boy, I'm glad you're serving Jesus. They're going to make fun. The world makes fun of us. I'm going to make a statement tonight, and it's not because I'm bold, because we're off the internet, but I'm just going to say it because it's right. Up till this year, we talked about Islamic terrorists. They don't want that word said with the word terrorist today on this anniversary of 9/11. You realize that? They won't just say terrorist. It wasn't just a terrorist. It was Islamic terrorist. You listening to me? So they won't tone it down, them, but they're really up in arms over us in our own country. They're upset with us. And everything, notice with television, all the TV shows, anybody living a wicked lifestyle is praised. They are the smartest person on the whole show. Hello. But you let somebody supposed to know God be on a TV show. How are they portrayed? They're portrayed as being the dumbest, the most ignorant. Hello? Being so mean and vicious about everybody else. That ain't Christians. Christian folk love people. You hear me? Hey, it's Christian folk that'll help you when you're down. Amen. Hey, the world and everybody else will pass you by after a certain point in your life, but it's the church of the living God that'll help pick you up out of the ditch. Amen. Are you hearing me? Hey, they taunt, they mock. But hey, they go from taunting to verse 11 to threatening. For it said here, and our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. We're going to kill them. We're going to wipe them out. And fear grips the hearts of these workers. I want you to look at me a minute. Since you've been saved, have you ever been really afraid? Has something happened in your life that struck fear down to the very bone of your body? I'm going to tell you something. I have. I've had things happen in my life that made my insides quiver. And I'm saved, full of the Holy Ghost and everything else, and I still get afraid sometimes. Amen. Preachers a lot of times shoot their mouth off. Bless God, let them lock me up. Well, you get a certified letter in the mail from a lawyer one time, and I have, over what you preach, it's going to make you step back about twice and say, wait a second. You'll begin weighing your words a lot more so. You decide what you'll go to jail over and what you won't. Hello. I've had things grip me with such fear. I wondered, is this going to be what takes me out? Amen. This crowd's afraid. Fear is, their very lives have been threatened. Hey, not only are they faint and they're fearful, but they're frustrated. What are we going to do? We're trying. Have you ever found yourself, Lord, I'm tithing. I'm giving to missions. Lord, I go to church. I try to live a godly life. And Lord, what's going on? Where do I go? Do I turn left? Do I turn right? Lord, what am I supposed to do? They don't play this kind of stuff on TBN. They want you to think it's always up here and you're going to shout and have money your whole life. Buddy, there's times you hit rock bottom, even as a Christian. Amen. Hey, something has took place from verse 6 to verse 10. Well, here's what I'm going to give you what's going to help you. Here's what's going to help you. And you hear me this evening. The what. What are we going to do? Well, it ain't nothing new. Let me just go ahead and tell you that. If you're looking for something brand new, it ain't here. But what works is here. All right? Preacher, what do we do when... Preacher, I'm trying to serve God, but I'm at a place. I'm on the verge of really throwing the towel in. Preacher, what do I do? All right, here it is. Number one, you better get to the secret place. You better get in that place of prayer. You see, here's what the Bible said over there in the book of Psalm 91, verse 1. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hey, when you get hurt, somebody at church hurts you, your friends turn on you, the rug gets jerked out from under you, you better run to your prayer place. You hear me? You're going to have to pray like you can't pray. Amen. And let me throw this in. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place. That ain't visiting. The word dwelleth don't mean you're visiting. It ain't like you're checking in a motel. You're here for a few days and then you leave. No, no, no. That dwelling's you're putting down stakes. Lord, I'm going to live here till you get me home. Amen. Hey, that's why I keep saying about people that moved on. I have heard it with my ears across the country. People always, well, they keep going to the altar. They went to altar Monday night at revival. They went to altar Sunday morning. Well, listen, friend. Maybe it's a little rougher than you think it is in their life. Hello? And they're in a safe place. Amen. If you won't get in the secret place, you're in danger. Amen. Hey, I know what being hurt is. I really do. I know what having my feelings hurt. I know what it is to have people turn on you. I know about those things. Say, preacher, how do you deal with it? I get in a secret place and I pray. And I pray and I pray and I pray until victory comes. And by the way, even if the same thing tries to raise its old ugly head again, I just pray again. Amen. You are safe in the secret place. Amen. Under the shadow, under the wings of the Almighty. Hey, you need the secret place. I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to make it if you won't pray. That is your access to heaven. That is a direct line, no busy signal, no secretary say, I'll check and see if he's in. Amen. That is your direct line to God Himself through Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. Hey, you have access to God. Amen. Hey, there's victory in the secret place. Not only are you going to need to get in that secret place, but you're going to have to get back in the Scriptures. This Bible is your weapon. This is it. Ephesians chapter 6 speaks about putting on the whole armor of God. Hello. Why you need armor, preacher? You in a fight. You're in a spiritual warfare tonight. You are needing something for protection. But the only piece of weaponry that is for the offense, for putting an enemy on the run, is the sword of the Spirit. What is that, preacher? Your Bible. This is how you defeat the devil. That's why it's important to you to read this Bible every single day. You know, when I talk with folk and we really get dealing with things, I'm going to ask you, how's your prayer life? Are you reading your Bible? You know what over 90% of the reaction is? If I ask them that, they bow their head. You know why they're bowing their head? They're ashamed to admit, I'm not praying and I'm not in that Bible like I ought to be. How are you going to defeat an enemy if you don't have a weapon? Amen? Hey, are you listening to me? I'm trying, and for some of you that are bored out of your mind, I'm helping those who are struggling and wanting something tonight. I'm just going to be honest. That's why I've slowed down tonight, because I'm seeing folk who are coming, preacher, pray for, and I mean they're in the battle. Amen. I want to help you tonight. There is help in the house of God. And the Bible is our weapon. Hey, remember I talked about fainting? I said those workers were faint. Do you know what? This Bible help you about your fainting. Here, let me give you some verses. How about that? Galatians tells us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing. I'd think that's serving God, wouldn't you? Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we what? Faint not. You want help? You feel like you're about to quit? Get in the Bible. Hey, here's another good verse. Man, God used, hey, and I share with you, and I'm serious, I'm not kidding you about getting a certified letter for preaching. I have. That ain't no fun. And boy, when fear gripped me, do you know what Bible verse God gave me? It wasn't Psalm 23. It really wasn't. But Malin, it wasn't John 14. That'd been great. Hallelujah. You know what verse about Ben the Lord gave me? What I'm about to give y'all. Proverbs 24:10. Here's what the Holy Ghost, you know why he said it? Because I've been reading this and been every day reading through my Bible for years now. Here's the verse the Holy Ghost brought to my mind. For faint, I was about to faint. Proverbs 24:10. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Ain't that a verse make you want to shout in the midst of the battle? That's the verse he gave me. He said, son, you don't need to be fainting. You've got everything you need to get through this battle. Hey, this Bible will keep you from fainting. Hey, what about your fears tonight? Do you really ever get afraid? I do. There's things make me afraid to this day. For you young people, you little ones, you ain't the only one don't like the dark. Your preacher gets up at night, he's cutting every light on between here and where I'm going. I'm a child of light. How about you? Amen. I like plenty of light outside my house. If I don't flick it on, the dogs are yapping, I want to see. That's right. Fear. It's all shapes and sizes. But here's what the Bible said. You want the Bible to help you with your fear? Psalm 56, verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. The Bible reminded me of that. You can trust God even in the midst of your fear. What about over there in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7? Listen to this. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Hey, the Bible's given us something that'll help us when fear comes our way. What about when you're frustrated? You ever been frustrated? Trying to find the will of God? Doing something for God? Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. The children of Israel are standing facing the Red Sea. They can't go left. They can't go to the right. And Pharaoh and his armies right behind them, hot on the trail. The only thing keeping them at bay is that pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. It's holding them off for the time being. What happens? Well, listen to this. Exodus 14, 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Do you know what's happened to us most of the time? We're running screaming about our problem. Hello. He said, stand still. Boy, that's tough on your flesh. It is mine. But he said, stand still and see the salvation. Listen to what he said over in Joshua. I'm going to read you several verses here. Joshua's having to take over after Moses has died. Joshua chapter 1, begin verse 6. He said, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which is swearing their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according. Now listen to this. To all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. He said, you keep that book with you. You're going to need this Bible. So if you're in the thick of the battle, number one, you better stay in your secret, but you better be praying. Number two, you better keep in that Bible. Get memorizing it. Quote it to the devil. That's right. Quote it to him. You say he might know it. That's okay. Quote it to him. That's your weapon. Not only you need to realize tonight that you've got to be in the secret place and in the scripture. Number three, listen to me. You better stay in the sanctuary. You don't need to be laying out of church in the time of your trouble. You are doing the worst thing you could possibly ever do. You are not going to get help sitting on that couch. You hear me? You're not going to get any help sitting at that table wringing your hands when the doors of the house of God are open. Amen. Let me read you something. I just preached out this a while back, but it's worth reading again. I like it myself. He said over there in Psalm 73, listen to this. He said, Psalm 73, verse 1 and 2, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Skip down to verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. You hear me tonight? You need church. I need church. Matter of fact, he said, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together in Hebrews 10, 25. We need, hey, right here, I done said for a service, I'm right. You can forget about your cares for a little while if you'll choose to in here. You really don't have to worry about all the bills, and you don't have to worry about the sickness, and all you really have an opportunity. You can have it all laid aside at least for a little while, right here in the house of God. We need church. I'm telling you, I've watched people through the years when family trouble, spiritual trouble, name it, sickness, and they all want to start laying out of church. Well, preacher, I just wasn't in the frame of mind. I ain't in the frame of mind sometimes I come either. But while I'm here, I finally get there. Amen. You got to come to church. You need it in just getting through life's trouble. This is the most precious place physically, as far as I'm concerned, in all the world. I love going to church. I do. I long for every opportunity to be in God's house. There's help here. There's a brother or sister who God's probably going to touch, and they're going to come by and say, I prayed for you today. And just keep right on walking. And inside, the Holy Ghost says, see, I told you somebody other than the Trinity loves you and cares too. Amen. It'll be the Holy Ghost that use a song in a service that'll minister to your heart, that'll keep you from giving up. That's why you need to be here. It bothers me if I miss a service, and that's the one. It just seems like everything just happens in. Now, I have to admit I'm in the flesh too, and I like to tell them too that you missed it. I just have to be honest. What about you? You know, I said, boy, if you had just been here, amen, there was help in the house of God today. Amen. I want to be in church. It helps me. I don't know how somebody who's saved can really live a Christian life with never going to church. I'm going to tell you, I'm having trouble 3 times a week. I'd be in real trouble if I didn't go to church. Amen. If all you get's what that world's feeding you, you're in real trouble after a while. We got to come in here and get the book. Get in here and worship God together. Amen. Oh, friend, listen, if the battle's raging, number one, I'd like to invite you to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I just need your help. Lord, I'm dealing with something in my life. It don't matter what it is. That's the good thing about an altar. You say, preacher, if I make a move and you start that invitation out, everybody's going to think, well, boy, their life's a mess. No more than theirs. They're just afraid and ashamed to get up and get help. Amen? But here's the real good part. It ain't none of their business. It's just between you and the Lord. Amen? You can come down here and tell him anything. He ain't telling nobody. Amen? They've been telephones and telegraph, or read a telephone, now cell phone, iPhone, and internet. Wow. You do something crazy and it'll beat you out them doors. Right? But you tell the Lord anything, it never leaves heaven. It's just between you and him. And he'll help you tonight. Father, take this a simple thought. Lord, my heart desire is to be to help your people. Lord, God, along this Christian journey, Lord, I'm glad we can shout. Lord, and we have around here. Lord, and it's wonderful. Lord, I believe you're going to let us shout again. Lord, that you're not done stirring our hearts. But Lord, tonight you desire to help us in our day-to-day walk with you. Lord, may we get the help you had intended for us tonight. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed as they come and get the music ready tonight. Is there someone here lift hands and preacher, I'm lost, I'm not saved. Remember me in prayer tonight. Anybody, preacher, I'm lost. How many of you that are saved tonight, lift hands and say, preacher, I've got a need in my life. And God spoke to me tonight in this service. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand right now. Invite you come to the altar. Why don't you come unload on the Lord tonight? Let him help you with what you're facing. I'll pray with you. If you need me to pray, I'll be glad to. But I'll be real honest, I can't change it for you. But if you'll talk to the one that can really change it, he'll help you tonight. Boy, folk coming from everywhere tonight. Hey, some rest of y'all swallow your pride and come on and say, Lord, you know I need some help from you tonight. Why would you go home wallowing in it when there's help right here tonight in the church house? I've done my best to pour my soul out. There's some folk can't kneel anymore, and I understand that. You can pray right there in your pew. But if I was physically able, I'd slip out and I'd find me a part of this altar and say, God, I need your help tonight. Sing tonight, Ian.